We are going to be studying together an organization known as The Way. It chooses as its chief text from the Bible, John chapter 10, verse 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ says that he has come to grant life and to give it abundantly, or more abundantly. Now, there's nothing wrong with the text, but we should be guided in our thinking by the words of Solomon the Magnificent, of whom the Lord Jesus Christ said, no one had ever arisen like him, nor ever would. Only Christ, who was the wisdom of God incarnate, transcended the wisdom of Solomon. And Solomon penned these words, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, an organization founded by Victor Paul Weerwill, known as The Way or The Way International, various other names have been assigned to it, today has made tremendous impacts throughout the United States and in more than 51 foreign countries. Now, The Way is very successful for a number of reasons. It has managed to confuse a number of people, a great number of people, some of them very responsible people, to the point where they think that The Way is nothing more than, quote, groovy Christians, close quote, Life magazine. Ed Plowman, in his book, The Underground Church, and Ed is the news editor of Christianity Today, mentioned The Way as, quote, an independent outreach organization, close quote. The Jesus Kids book by Roger Palms simply looked at The Way as another example of Christian revival among the youth. It has gotten an enormous amount of mileage because it uses the vocabulary of Christianity. When you talk to people who are involved in The Way, you will notice immediately that they are almost always young people. Secondly, they always are bouncing up and down with the vitality of what they call the spiritual gifts. And they're always talking about Jesus Christ, the new birth, always talking about how important it is to believe in the infallible Word of God, the accuracy of the Bible, and using the terms of salvation in such a way that people get the idea that The Way is an evangelical organization. Well, to set the record straight at the outset, you cannot deny the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. You cannot write a book that says Jesus Christ is not God. You cannot distort numerous biblical texts. You cannot make a charade out of the cross. You cannot adopt the doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses and of Herbert Armstrong, which Mr. Weerwill, the founder of The Way, has done, and still maintain that you are a Christian organization. Now, we're going into the theology of The Way a little bit further down the pike. But it's been tremendously successful, as one writer has said, because, and I quote, The Way makes its converts among young people. Contact is first made by other young people. These contacts are integrated into the movement physically, socially, mentally, and finally spiritually. The physical integration is set up by means of a retreat to one of the houses or mansions owned by the cult. During this time, the physical integration is reinforced by games together. Admiration for the skills of the cultist in the games chosen is part of the plan. The social integration is carried on at the same time. This involves, quote, I like you, close quote, devices, such as hugging and kissing on a, quote, brother and sister, close quote, level, and a sympathetic ear to the problems of the novice. The assault upon the mind takes the form of attacks on the failure of the church, the failure of the government, the failure of the family, and the novice is overwhelmed with the statistics thrown at him. Finally, the solution to the problem is presented. A new solution is presented. The cult offers to resolve it. In this case, The Way. The novice is asked if he has a better solution, which he obviously doesn't, or he wouldn't be there to begin with. A challenge is given to him which involves personal sacrifice, and he is then subjected to a serious course of indoctrination in the cult books. The Bible is used as proof resource And this is successful only because texts are taken out of context and adapted to the theology of the way. I would add to that that there is a great similarity between Sun Myung Moon's material and approaches, Est's material, and the Hare Krishna movement, all of which employ what can only be termed as brainwashing tactics. Now, I know the word brainwashing has been terribly misapplied and abused, but you don't get rid of the term which is valid simply because some people abuse it. I remember back in the 1940s, the term the divinity of Christ fell into great disrepute. Everybody was arguing we should use the term the deity of Christ. And because liberal theologians took the word divinity of Christ, fundamental theologians took the term deity of Christ. How amusing. How many deities are there? The Bible says only one. Jesus Christ claimed to be God in human flesh. Therefore, divinity or deity, six of one, half dozen of another. The fact remains, a rose by any other name will smell as sweet. And the Lord Jesus Christ was declared to be God by his own lips, those who encountered him, the prophets who wrote anticipating his arrival, and the great ongoing ministry of the church in the first century of the Christian era. So, when you try and get rid of the term brainwashing, be careful. Be careful and learn the lesson of history. Something that accurately describes a phenomenon should not be discarded because others abuse it. And I'm not going to discard brainwashing. It is an alteration of the mind pattern, an alteration of the value system, and the person is dropped into it and conditioned only after they have been brainwashed. That is, their previous value systems been set aside or reinterpreted. The way, as this particular person writes, quite accurately, does this to the young people that enter it. Now, what about its growth and development in the world in which we live right now? Well, since Victor Paul Wirwill claims to have been inspired by God in 1942, and God spoke to him with an audible voice, that should tell us something. It appears, according to Mr. Wirwill, that in an audible voice, the Almighty said that he would instruct Wirwill on how he could teach. Teaching that hadn't been heard since the first century of the Christian era. That sounds vaguely familiar to me. I seem to recall Herbert W. Armstrong writing that no church was teaching the gospel as the apostles and Christ preached it until he appeared on the scene. I remember Mary Baker Eddy saying that the revelation she had from God was, quote, higher, clearer, and more permanent than that given 18 centuries before, close quote. I recall Charles Taze Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, saying that if you read the Bible without his writings, you went into darkness within 5 years. But if you kept his writings and ignored the Bible, you'd be in the truth in less than 2 years. How the record goes on and on and on. Madame Blavatsky said, theosophy was a revelation for the 19th century. And then Joseph Smith appeared upon the scene and told us that an angel named Moroni spoke to him, gave him golden plates, and showed him how to translate what now is, according to them, the Book of Mormon. And Joseph was the prophet of God, and all the religions were wrong, and all the professors were corrupt. And all the creeds were abominable, except Joe and what he had to say. So if you go down the line and start adding them up, all of the people in the kingdom of the cult and the occult have a common factor, and that is, we're it. We have the message. Believe us. Of course, this is a cheap counterfeit of Christianity, because Jesus Christ came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He proved what he said was true by opening the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, loosing the tongue of the dumb. He proved it by casting out demons, feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. He proved it by walking upon water so that men could say, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. Jesus said, if you don't believe me for the words that I tell you, my doctrines, believe me for what? The works that are performed. What I'm doing. And Jesus said that he alone was God's way, truth, and life for mankind. But Christ could prove what he said because he demonstrated it with power. The kingdom of the cults and the occult talk about it all the time, but they don't demonstrate anything except multiple confusion. Mr. Weirwald is in the department of doctrinal confusion. In 1942, God spoke to him and told him that he was going to be the one to teach New Testament Christianity and that it was going to be special for the world. Quote, God told me if I would teach the word, he would teach it to me as it hasn't been taught since the first century. Close quote. Well, then we can expect from Mr. Weirwald's teaching that we will go back to the first century of the Christian era. I think that's fair to say. And if we go back to the first century of the Christian era, do we find Mr. Weirwald's doctrine there? The answer, unequivocally, is no. Because the doctrine which the Way teaches is redefined doctrine. He is a former United Church of Christ minister. His own denomination was considering removing him because of his heretical teachings. In 1958, the Way took off, became the Way International, and today conducts family camps. It distributes its material through films, cassettes, and a Rock of Ages concert held every year. The last one drew almost 10,000 young people from all over the world. In 1975, they drew 8,500. The first one drew 1,000. Located in Ohio, and having purchased a defunct Presbyterian college in Emporia, Kansas, the Way is growing by leaps and bounds. It is fed from the Jesus movement and young people who, with insufficient teaching, thought that they were listening to charismatic Christian theology when instead they were getting Victor Paul Weirwald's interpretation or biblical accuracy on Christian doctrine. I don't think we can ignore the fact that Weirwald has reached out into a void, touched people, and brought people into what he considers to be a valid spiritual experience. I have no doubt that some of the people in the Way have had spiritual experiences. But I recall the words of Dr. Oz Guinness, who said, we are so experience-oriented in our day that we think that if somebody has an experience, it's got to be right just because it's real. Well, supposing you have a real experience, and it's wrong. Supposing you have an experience not with God, the Holy Spirit, but with the devil. If you don't have the knowledge of the Word of God to sort it out, you don't know. And the Way has been filled with young people, some of whom were genuinely saved and had genuine spiritual gifts and got sucked into it. It's filled with people in the Jesus movement who, having no real knowledge of the Word of God, went into it. They're impressed by the fact that Weirwald has a degree from Princeton Theological Seminary and that he throws a great deal of scholarship about in his writings. They don't know enough to check his scholarship, as we will. They don't know enough to examine the teachings. Result, multiple confusion. And the only way to sort it out is to go directly to the source itself. Mr. Weirwald does not want to be considered an apostle, he says, though he believes it's possible for apostles to be here today. But it's quite interesting that in Christianity Today, we had some very distinct references in a book published, by the Way, to how they consider Mr. Weirwald. I quote, Weirwald, I don't want you to be Weirwaldites. I want you to be God's lights. But in a book entitled The Way, published in 1972 by the organization, the following quotation appears from a convert. I see Dr. Weirwald as the next man to God to rise up after Paul's death. My, it's been a great gap since Paul's death. That would be about 62 A.D. And the church has been waiting breathlessly for Victor Paul to arrive in 1942. What a gap. Imagine that we've all these years missed Irenaeus and Tertullian and Justin Martyr. We've missed Jerome and Augustine and Aquinas. We've missed Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Knox and Melanchthon and Tyndale and Coverdale. We missed Cranmer. We missed everybody until Victor Paul got here. Now, some people snicker, and they say, people don't really believe that.
Yes, they do believe it.
And unless you take the word seriously, you're going to have three or four times the 50,000 people we now know are involved in the organization. They have a slick magazine which comes out that would make most Christian magazines look like Kleenex. The Way. They have a tremendous public relations outreach, and people don't recognize it. You say, oh, well, how can they penetrate the area of the secular society? I mean, people are going to know what they are. Well, do they indeed? Here is The Way, a public explanation, Power for Abundant Living. That's how the message is spread, the Power for Abundant Living seminars, which you take specific seminars, and then you go on to learn more things each time you are getting your mind straightened out. Sadly, the 10th of July at 7:30, at the Savings and Loan in Downey, California. Now, that's not church. The Way claims it's not a church. But to the Savings and Loan Association. And that really is quite apropos. Because to take the lessons from The Way, it costs you a considerable amount of money. Not as much as in Scientology, but it costs money. And you can find yourself spending a few thousand dollars getting all of the information that is necessary for you. The college, which now has more than 600 students in it, is training people to go out all over the world and proclaim The Way. They have already more than 6,000 young people canvassing the United States. They have spread to England, where they are very strong, moving to the continent. And they are doing it all using the name Jesus. Do you see how important it is to know whether or not you have the real Jesus Christ? Because if somebody comes along and says, praise Jesus, and you say, praise the Lord, and all of a sudden you've got your arms around the person and hugging them and blessing them in the name of God, and suddenly you find out that their Jesus is the Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses, the first and greatest creation of God, but not God himself in human flesh. So it's terribly important to understand that we must put everything to the test. The name Jesus in itself means nothing. Unless it's the Jesus of the Bible. Unless we're talking about God in human flesh, who died on Calvary in our place, rose from the dead, and gives us salvation and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Since Mr. Weirwill does not believe that the Holy Spirit is a person, nobody who really believes him can be regenerated. Because unless the Spirit of God dwells in you, unless you have been truly reborn and indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, you are not God's property. For if you don't have Christ's Spirit, says Paul in Romans, you are not Christ's property. When you're dealing with The Way, you're dealing with people who talk about Holy Spirit. But as we'll see, they're not talking about God, the Holy Spirit. They're talking about something quite different, and that should stimulate us to considerable thought and study. Again, concerning Mr. Weirwill. He says, nowhere else can you get this knowledge of how to read and understand God's Word. How do you get the knowledge to read and understand God's Word? You get it from Mr. Weirwill. What is Mr. Weirwill's channel? God's direct revelation. Now, what you will find in The Way and their literature is constant usage of getting to the Word of God. Getting into the Word of God. The Bible is without error. The Bible is God's Word. They're always striving for biblical accuracy. Please don't be deceived by it. They believe the Bible is the Word of God when Mr. Weirwill tells them what it means. When Mr. Weirwill tells them the interpretation. His interpretations alone are accurate. Everybody else is out of the way except we're Will and his followers. Now, once you get that in your mind, you understand that like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, the Bible is the Word of God insofar as it is correctly translated. And who are the only people that can give the translation? The people in the cult. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, the Way with Victor Paul Weirwill. You have exactly the same cultic pattern. Now, that is not alone the area that can be explored in reference to him. I'm tremendously impressed by the fact that Weirwill not only talks about this exalted role, but he wants his followers all to become involved with it, so that the Way becomes for them not just a way of life, but it becomes the only way, the only interpretation of Scripture, the only method to obtain God's best for your life. Listen to Mr. Weirwill. Quote, "You too must follow God's truth as told in the Word of God. But if you think this is just Victor Paul Weirwill writing or speaking to you, you will never receive. If you know that what I am saying to you are words which the Holy Ghost has spoken and is speaking to you by me, then you too will manifest the greatness of the power of God. If you will literally do what I ask you, then you can manifest the fullness of the abundance of God, the wonderful power of God." Close quote. What does it mean? It means turn your mind over to me. Check brains here. That's the invisible sign over the headquarters of the Way. Check brains here. Because when you go in, it is Weirwill's brain. It is Weirwill's theology. Everything is Victor Paul Weirwill. And his chief textbook is Jesus Christ is not God. I think Christians should be aware that these young people have been deceived, and that the Way is reaching out into our churches, into every area of American life and around the world, and it is attempting to bring young people into its bondage. Now, of course, they would never admit that it's bondage, but whatever would turn you away from the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed great bondage. Something about the Way and its Biblical Research Center might help us to get a little bit more acclimated. It's located in New Knoxville, Ohio, on a 150-acre farm. The Way owns properties in several states, including two schools. One of them is the former Presbyterian College in Emporia. In the 1960s, the Jesus Movement fed the Way. And the reason it fed it is because they used the language of the Jesus Movement, and they talked about salvation and Jesus, but they were really propagating the basic doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And are doing it today. Put this down in your mind or put it down on paper. The doctrine of God in the Way is the doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Anti-Trinitarian, only the Father is God, and Jesus Christ is a creature created by God and raised to the rank of divinity. But the Way does not recognize Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will not bow and worship Him as the eternal God in human flesh. Never mistake it. That is the acid test. In 1976, a campaign was kicked off for door-to-door selling of Weirwill's books. After 13 weeks in Wake County, North Carolina, 9,945 new families were introduced to books published by the Way. 5,856 families listened to the 20-minute presentation, and 2,223 families bought the books. You don't think that door-to-door selling works in the kingdom of the cult? Of course it does. The Jehovah's Witnesses have been doing it for years. So have the Mormons. Now the Way has only adopted what used to be early Christian methods of evangelism. Namely, go out and bring the gospel wherever you get the opportunity. They're doing it. Only it's another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel. The organizational structure of the Way should not be ignored. It's set up in what is called the Way Tree. The trunk is the international headquarters in New Knoxville. The limbs are statewide organizations. The branches represent cities or counties. Twigs are home or campus meetings. and leaves are the individual members. And of course, where does the tree get its life from? Its roots are sunk squarely in Victor Paul Weirwell, so that you are getting sap throughout the whole tree. The Way now has a prison ministry, as an American Christian press which publishes The Way magazine, and it even has a political program, TWIG, The World in Government. Says Mr. Weirwill, reminiscent of Sun Myung Moon, quote, "We're going to train people how to get into the political field and work in it. Prepare, and sooner or later they will have to elect you, because you will be the best person for the job, because you are the best. When you get to be governors and senators, you will know what to do. We need people to work in city and local governments and on the school boards," notice that emphasis, "who will put the integrity and accuracy," which we have seen means Weirwill's interpretation, "the integrity and accuracy of God's word first." You see, the Bible has its integrity and accuracy as Weirwill interprets it to the people. So he can talk about the infallible word because he changes it around, as we'll see, to suit his own ends. He can talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He can talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. But he has a totally different interpretation than the biblical context. But Christians listen to this. Some charismatic Christians listen to this in ecstasy. And they think that Weirwill is a spirit-filled charismatic. Weirwill, far from being a charismatic in the biblical sense, denies God the Holy Spirit as a person. And I submit that you cannot be indwelt by the Spirit of God and deny Him. That's precisely what you are facing in the Word. They have had programs that have gone international. WUSA, Word Over the USA. WOW, Word Over the World. They have Minutemen, very seasoned troops who go about building up the faith of others. And the Scripture tells us that the Christian must beware of false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inwardly they are savage wolves. You will know them by what they produce. What does the Way produce? It produces a spiritual mental euphoria, but it does not produce salvation only by grace through faith in the God of the Bible. It certainly does not produce the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. It certainly cannot have either the gifts of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit if it denies the identity of the Spirit. Now, it would be possible to go to great lengths discussing the indoctrination of the Way and its various organizations. The fundamental thing, however, is the class and the power for abundant living. Sounds a little bit like Oral Roberts. But you'd be surprised how people think it is Oral Roberts just because they hear the words abundant living. And they equate sometimes Weirwill with Roberts, which is a grievous error because Oral Roberts is a Christian evangelist who believes in the Christian doctrine of the Trinity and preaches Jesus Christ as God incarnate. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Mr. Weirwill doesn't. I cannot urge you more strongly than to warn young people, particularly, of being drawn into a system which uses the vocabulary of the church, but which has changed the meaning of the church. And, I might add, the meaning of that vocabulary. The power for abundant living is divided into two segments, intermediate and advanced. For the intermediate class, the price is $100 and lasts 3 to 4 weeks. The guarantee is salvation and speaking in tongues. That's right. That's the big thing in the Way. Speaking in tongues. The big question is, whose tongue? And you might ask this question too as we move along. Are there tongues divine? Yes. Are there tongues earthy? Yes. And are there tongues devilish? Yes. Yes. Yes, because Satan, the great imitator, imitates all the gifts of the Holy Spirit any chance he gets. So the fact that somebody says, I'm born again, baptized in the Spirit, and pray in tongues, and I'm charismatic in my beliefs, and I believe in Jesus, doesn't make them a Christian. You have to test the manifestation to find out if it's of God. And Mr. Weirwill teaches you how to speak in tongues, mechanistically. And you do it by breathing in, that's receiving Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit? Just the manifestation of nine gifts. God, the Holy Spirit, isn't even involved. Because Weirwill doesn't believe the Holy Spirit is God in terms of personality. He just says the Holy Spirit is another name for God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is God himself, third person of the Trinity. Mr. Weirwill originally charged $50 for that course. Now $100, which seems to indicate that the price of salvation varies with the market. The course includes witnessing and understanding, more courses, basic and advanced, the renewed mind. How do you get your mind renewed? Ah, says Weirwill, the mind is renewed. Different from the spirit's renewal. When your spirit is renewed, it's by regeneration. But the mind is something you do through Holy Spirit, small h, small s. The manifestation of the spiritual gifts in your life. As you manifest the spiritual gifts, then you are renewing your mind. But Weirwill always forgets the first part of Romans chapter 12, which tells you not only to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. The scripture tells you first, worship God, and let the Holy Spirit take care of your mind. Don't you try to use something Weirwill says can be given to you simply by learning how to breathe properly. Sit back, relax, and then just let the words flow out of your mouth. And it may be gibberish to everybody else, but it's you renewing your mind, building you up. Now that's utter nonsense. Because the Bible says that true tongues is a dialect, Acts chapter 2, that it's known to God, if not to you. You should pray to interpret, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, so that your mind will be edified along with your spirit. Genuine tongues is a manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit. But counterfeit tongues is totally opposite this. Sometimes it comes from people who want to appear spiritual, and they mouth what they have heard other people say. Then there are people who just want to be attention getters. Turn the autonomic nervous system loose, and immediately you get gibberish. And that's supposed to be tongues, not biblical tongues. And then just sitting back and breathing properly and doing what Weirwill says is going to produce this. You're going to get this it, the tongues. Tongues is only one of nine spiritual gifts. The greatest gift is prophecy, not tongues. Therefore, though tongues have their place according to New Testament theology, they do not usurp the other gifts. Do all speak in tongues? No, says Paul. Do all prophesy? No. But the Spirit gives as it pleases him. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who gives gifts. You don't appropriate these gifts and take them for yourself. Look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 2. How many have your Bibles? Good. Get into it. Hebrews chapter 2. Here you have a startling statement concerning the function of tongues in the New Testament church. The function of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mr. Weirwill talks about the gifts from the Holy Spirit, but his problem is he doesn't know the giver. He knows about the gifts, but he doesn't know the giver. He does not worship God, the Holy Spirit. He does not worship him as a person. So let's look very carefully here in the book of Hebrews, because I think in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, you have perhaps the clearest statement imaginable on how the Spirit ministers in the church. This is how he did it in the beginning. This is how he continues today. How shall we escape, verse 3, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. It is the will of the Spirit that gives the gifts. It is God's Spirit that makes up his mind what he's going to give you. You don't meditate upon it, lay back in your chair, open your mouth, breathe in, and try and get the idea going that you are speaking in tongues by the gibberish that comes out of your mouth. Because when God gave the gift at the day of Pentecost, the Scripture says he came upon them with power, and the Spirit flowed out of them in manifestation. That's very clear. No way out of it. And the word dialectos is there, a language. Because the people who were there heard the wonderful works of God in their own language or dialect. So it wasn't gibberish. Werewolf tongues is gibberish. The tongues of God in Scripture are dialects that God gives from a heavenly perspective so that he can give whatever he wants. You are to pray that the Holy Spirit will enable you to interpret those words to your mind so that you can be built up in mind as well as in spirit.